Now, in the studio right now, and even then I think they thought it was not going to be live, but it is, it's live today. I've got the wonderful Spencer family. They join me today because they've done something very monumental in memory of their gorgeous mum, Sandra Spencer. They trekked the desert, the Sahara Desert, in what must have been horrendously awful temperatures. So, good afternoon. Hi. Lovely to see you. Now, we've got here, let me just get this right, because you remind me of my family too, Grant.
Yep. Hiya.
Come a bit closer to the mic.
Hiya.
Oh, that's a bit better. Have I got that right? Speak a bit better now. Can you say?
Hello.
Oh, that's it. Good. I didn't have the mic on. I'm sorry. So, we've got Grant.
Hiya.
Carl.
Hello.
Lloyd.
Hello.
And Jade.
Hi.
Hello. Lovely to have you here. So, I mean, the question I really want to start off with, the trek through the Sahara Desert was inspired, of course, by the fantastic care given to your mum, Sandra, by the Arthur Rank Hospices charity. Is that right?
Yeah,
how did that all come about?
Well, we sort of... it was just, obviously, was at the hospice every day, almost days. So I saw a poster for it. And I thought to myself, oh yeah, I'll mention that to the boys, thinking nothing would come of it. And so we were sat, I don't remember who it was, there was one of you, I don't remember who it was now, but one of you. And we sat with mum and I mentioned it. And
I think it might be me.
I think it was you, actually.
Yeah.
And so then Grant was like, oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not really sure. Okay. Then mum went, oh, that sounds fantastic. And then I thought, oh, well, now we've got to do it because mum said. So,
mum said. Yeah. I like that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
well,
good.
And strangely, it was the day that the mum passed away. We all sat in the Arthur Rank have got like a lovely sort of relaxation room, of course, where you can, you know, chat about things. And so the day that mum passed away, we all literally that day. We decided that...
You then decided... you saw that it was on mum's birthday that it started.
Yes, it was, actually. Yeah.
It was an instant yes for all of us.
The day the trek started was March the 15th, which is this year, which happened to be mum's birthday.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really interesting. So it was almost meant to be, wasn't it?
We can't not do it.
No.
Absolutely. And interesting, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, that your mum knew about this, which was nice.
Yeah.
And would she have given you some hot tips? Had she ever done this sort of trip herself or
trek? She would have told us we were bonkers.
Not a normal type of activity for us.
No. She'd have gone, oh, that means you got a pack. How's that going to happen?
She would have known all your foibles, wouldn't she? She would have thought, well, you'll be easy at getting your packing sorted.
Yeah,
you
looking at me there. She knew I would have struggled. So.
Oh, I love it. So I suppose that you answered my question. It wasn't really a hard decision to make. You knew you were going to do it.
Yeah.
You had decided after your mum passed away that this was going to be the one thing that you could give back to Arthur Hospice Arthur Rank Hospice for doing that.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the trek then. Was it as hot and hot on the feet? Did you find that it was an experience that you'd want to do again, or...?
Well, to be honest, when it started, it wasn't as hot as we thought
no,
it was going to be.
Like
when we,
oh,
when
it was
we,
not too bad.
When we landed, it was raining in Marrakesh.
Yes.
She was like, hang on, we brought the weather with us. But then when we got to the desert, it was hotter. But it then got hotter each day, didn't it?
Yeah, because the wind dropped as well, didn't it? Because it started off quite windy. We had a sandstorm.
But you had 18 of you, weren't there? There were 18, because hospice families who had the facility that we could use it for your families, and so they were there with you. I remember reading in the press release that you all came together with this. It became one big family.
Amazing.
That was one of the things that I wasn't expecting.
Yes.
So I obviously was expecting to go to the desert and be hot and to leave everything behind and just be in the desert for a week. But actually, one of the major things was meeting the people that we did it with getting on so well with them. And it was kind of like therapy because everyone had a similar story. And you just was open to it because you didn't know these people at the start. So we got to know each other very quickly and very well.
Yeah.
And that was one of the major things for me.
Yeah.
Actually.
Mm.
Yeah. And you were doing something as well, a good thing for the hospice.
I think it was like you were cleansed of all the noise of normal life. So it's not like I've got two young children, you know, you've got the normal life stuff going on. There it wasn't.
Yeah.
Mm. So, it was all compounded.
It was,
so
very,
it was really well recuperating and you know, you are going, you know, you were going through grief, you're still going through grief.
Yeah.
And that's something that you just have to live with for the rest of your life. Mm. But it becomes part of you, and that trek will become part of you as well.
The trek helped massively for us. Because it was, you know, a year on or over a year on, and it was all the anticipation for the trek and raising the money and then doing it kind of felt a bit like closure a little bit.
I didn't realise how much of the grieving process I sort of bottled up in the trek where it completely lost my
track. No, sorry, I was directing you towards the microphone because we'd like to hear what you've got to say.
Really close to my face. But yeah, it's part of that grieving process and really helped me as closure.
On we kind of all discovered ourselves a little bit out there.
Yeah,
because we're all so open.
Sounds.
It was really cheesy, but actually we did.
Because you all live, do you all live near each other or do you live far away or do you?
Well, I live in Wiltshire.
Oh, okay.
I live in Peterborough.
So the bit nearer.
Me and Lloyd are in Sutton.
You are. So this is quite. So your mum would have been really chuffed, hadn't she?
She really would have.
She'd love to spend time all together anyway.
Yeah.
So she would have absolutely loved.
Well, I know that she said, real leading up to when she passed away, certainly probably for the last 2 or 3 weeks, she was saying the number one thing she kept saying to us was make sure that you all stick together.
Yeah.
And for us, we felt that this was a reason and like a direction that we could all do that.
Yeah, and I think it's also good for us as well to listen to this because the grieving process is important to talk about, and I think it's great that you're here to talk about it because it just shows people that should be going through the same process to talk about things. And people find it very difficult, don't they, when you go through something like this to know what to say or to do, but actually just say it.
Just say it.
You're not going to say anything wrong. Mm. You're just going to
There's nothing right to say.
And it's good for you to talk about it as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And saying you have a support system and being part of a support system and actually embracing it are different things.
Yeah.
So. And actually on that as well, I think that some people, you know, all four of us show emotion in completely different ways, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
And people used to say to me, "Carl, I think you're doing so well with the grieving process." What does doing well mean? Does doing well mean you're not getting upset every day? Does doing well mean that you are getting...
That's an interesting one, actually.
So what does doing well mean? So if, when you do something like what we've all done, it sort of strips you back a bit.
I struggled with that also, because not knowing how to grieve.
Yeah.
It took someone to say there's no...
Exactly. There is no... Absolutely, you know, doing it.
Yeah.
I agree. And so when you were doing this, obviously 15th of March is when it was your mum's birthday and you were packing. Did you feel quite apprehensive at the start? You know, did you know what to pack, what to take?
Oh, don't tell me about packing.
There was a lot of packing discussion.
Yeah, there was a lot. Yeah. You want to say a WhatsApp?
WhatsApp.
Oh, gosh, yes, that's right.
I might have left it to the last minute.
Really?
I stayed at Grant's the night before, and we just had a kit explosion. In the front room, there's just... My bag was everywhere. I'd packed it perfectly, and then I had to show Grant everything that I'd bought.
Then you lost your hat.
Then I lost my hat.
So who's the youngest out of you here? Baby James.
Yeah.
I like it. So you know, you'd have a choice, really, do you? You've got three older brothers.
He's most organised, but
yeah.
Oh. Well, had to be.
So what do you think was the most adventurous thing about the trip that really helped? What stuck out for you about the trip that really helped you to realise what you were doing was a great thing?
Most importantly for me was I only bought 2 pairs of pants. and I don't quite know.
We can say that on radio. We can definitely say that.
So,
did I just say that? The whole way.
So, sorry, we should move on.
We won't ever talk about that.
Not at all. So, that was one of the things, the pants and everything. That was okay, fine.
Yeah.
Meeting, obviously, fellow trekkers on the same thing.
That was massive, honestly.
Yeah.
It really was massive. And they are the most amazing people that we could have ever been with. And also Rudy, the chap,
the guide that guided
us through. Absolutely amazing.
Who is Rudy then? Was he part of the hospice?
He was from Different Travel.
He's the guy that meets us at the airport and takes us with him.
But he was
an inspirational
You just could not have made up. He was just... amazing.
Yeah.
He was on the first response or second response team at Haiti, and you know he you could go on.
He'd
for
lived so,
so many amazing stories.
So you learnt a lot.
Yeah.
Now, more importantly, as well, you raised a huge amount. You raised between you, how much did you raise?
10,140.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. And then collectively, all 18 of you have raised £64,700.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. And we got told that the third day in, didn't we? It's just amazing.
Did you?
We're all there, yeah.
So were you, how were you making people aware of this, that what you were doing? Was the social media quite an important part in this?
Absolutely. The fundraising was actually quite... It's difficult, you know, it's difficult to do.
I appreciated how difficult it actually was, so
that's off. All of us done so many diverse things to raise the money.
Yeah, that's it. And it's just about... And social media was a massive part of that.
It really was. And friends and family had massive help with all the events that got... organised, so we had a lot of help. And
So let's just talk about the Arthur Rank Hospices, because, as you say, your mum was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in 2015 and thankfully was cared for by Arthur Rank Hospice, and you were there obviously too. What is important about raising awareness about the Arthur Rank Hospice?
I didn't know what to expect from a hospice personally, because obviously you've never been in that situation, but it was just so, I was trying to think of the right words, I guess, but so welcoming and so
comfortable. And
It really was. And it wasn't clinical in any way. And I loved that, because Mum was in hospital before she ended up at Arthur Rank. And
it was amazing. Not knocking the hospital because they're busy and what have you, but you just get a totally different level of care at Arthur Rank.
And for us too, because obviously I live in Wiltshire, so coming over, I'd end up staying over at the hospice as well, in the rooms that they have, which is a fabulous service that they do. But they'd notice that I'd been there all day and not had dinner, so they'd bring me a plate of food. And just the little things like that.
You raise a good point, actually, because that is what hospice is all about. It's not, well, it is about the patient. It's definitely totally and utterly about the patient. But the patient needs to be happy as well, and the happy is bringing your family to be with you on the most important time
of their life. Things like nice big rooms where you could easily, you know, have three or four
hanging out.
And they gave us around the bed.
They gave us a Christmas as well. They gave us a Christmas day together.
Fantastic.
What can you put? Obviously, we all contributed. They didn't upfront ask for any money. But of course, we contributed. Of course you would in that situation. Yeah. Provided food and drinks and everything. It's crazy.
And of course, and now you're fundraising for families that are going to be going through this, you know, in the next few years. Yeah. And so this is important. It's giving back, but it's also a good way of making you appreciate what helped your mum, and it helped yourselves as well. And it's always good. And I love the way that you... Your mum was with you, and she was talking about your trek. And how it, and I'm sure that helped her as well.
We knew that. I suppose we tried to. You can't turn anything like that into a positive. It just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And of course, you never get over it. You just learn to sort of live with it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I think what we tried to do is, in some way, move this into what would Mum would feel proud of us doing. So it was that's so. When you said, what advice did Mum give? Mum was behind us, even though she didn't know.
Well, she was such a positive person anyway. Yeah. So even in the darkest days, you know, she still managed to find some sort of positive. So hopefully what we've done is like a bit of a tribute to that. You know, we've found something positive, and we've done something positive out of a really bad
situation. And just to summarise this, on the Arthur Rank, they it's like 7-star... an experience. You can't even put it into words. They're amazing, and get emotional and all sorts.
You feel like you want to give back. You've all the effort of raising money and everything. You want to do it because of the amazing service that they did, and you really wanted to give it back. The service they give you.
There's no way you can repay them for everything they've done.
No. So you raised some good points here. Talking about grief is really important. I think that's good, and not being afraid of actually approaching somebody who's going through it. Raising a lot of money for Arthur Rank Hospice for families that are going through this and will go through this, and collectively it's helped you, and you'll always have grief with you. It'll be there forever and ever, but you've learnt to you'll always be learning what to do with it, and that's part of it. But it's been, I can tell from all of you, that you're a really close family. and even if you're not a close family, it does help, doesn't it, when you can do something to to help you get through it.
Yeah. Oh, it really does, because you all go into your separate lives and do your, mm-hmm. whatever you're doing in your own lives, and this really brought us back again to really get over it and well, to sort of help each other.
Yes.
I suppose it's kind of, you've got two choices, unite or divide, I guess.
That's true. There is that, isn't it, after grief. It does work two ways, and for you, it's completely unite. And I'm so impressed with you. Thank you very much for coming in. It's been absolutely lovely. I'm going to just say Grant, Carl, Lloyd and Jane. Thank you so much. They're the Spencer family. And you are gorgeous. You're just lovely people. And I'm just going to read out, because we want to continue raising the money, do we not?
Yeah,
the Arthur Anks, so it's ahc.org.uk/challenges.acp. And if you want to ring the team, the hospice fundraising team, it's 01223 675 888.
They need every penny.
They rely heavily on charity. Yeah, so
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure to meet you guys, and well done indeed. Thank you very much indeed. I'm going to have the travel news out. It's such a